Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Drive boy, dog boy, dirty nub angel boy, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. I'm Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And the mega, mega white thing, Pete Donaldson.
Choose life.
Friday, and a lot of you are thinking lager, lager, lager.
Yeah. Especially those of you going back to Romford.
Marcus is even speaking to the listeners, though. He's looking at us directly when he's saying that.
More Peter. Yeah. Although lagers, you've moved on from lager many years ago.
No, I still drink lager. I have a red wine every now and again.
Every now and again.
But I'm still Jenny from the block, guys.
Petey from the pool.
Yeah. There we go.
Hartlepool. Mm. It's FA Cup fourth round time.
Yeah. Come around very quickly.
It has.
Yeah, I'm still, my heart's still healing its savage wounds at the third round's over. So I'm very pleased that fourth round is back so quick. Huge fan of the FA Cup, as you guys well know. And looking forward to the Friday Night Lights as well.
Yeah.
Well,
and that's where we begin.
HG Bissing, Friday Night Lights. The game might as well be playing Odessa, Texas.
You love Friday Night Football, don't you? But it sounds like it's not going down well with Sky viewers in
honest,
the Premier
Pete,
League anyway.
Not really, Pete. Not really Luke's concern.
I don't necessarily care about the overall viewing figures, Pete.
No.
No doubt be surprised to hear. But
it's our bread and butter, Luke.
I've got to the age now where I don't really go out on a Friday night, so some football on is very
but
welcome.
You've got
it's
a
nice subscribe. Not to.
You've got a subscriber in me.
Yeah.
It's Derby County versus those Leicester City boys. Steve McLaren and his trusty assistant pal are hoping to plot an upset, Jim. And you can see one on the cards.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I actually quite fancy Leicester in this game because.
You should do, shouldn't you, really?
Well, absolutely. I know that should sound like a strange thing to say.
You fancy the champions of England.
everyone's down on them because they were terrible again against Southampton. And it looks like they're just not putting the work in, doesn't it? Graham Souness was questioning their work ethic a little while ago, and I was wondering, like, do you think they've bought into their own fairy tale myth a little bit to the point where they're going, oh, there's no way we can win the Premier League again, and they're just sort of almost just allowing it to happen. It was sort of forgetting that they actually, you know, they do still have some control over their own destiny. They don't have to have an absolutely terrible season.
Luke sort of alluded to it, I think. It's a tribute season, isn't it? Ranieri's picking up his honorary degree from De Montfort University.
Yeah. Where Pete went.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Did you get a degree from there?
I did no graduate.
No, okay.
Because I had outstanding library fines.
That's it. Yeah. I knew there was something funny about that. Yeah, anyway, hopefully you'll get an honorary one at some point.
Could you just pay them now and get your degree, or is it?
I think I did a radio show where I rang them up and they rang me back and they said that if I give 30 quid to children in need, they would say no more about it. So I think technically I can graduate if I fancy it.
But you've decided to snub children in need.
No, I gave the children in need money. I just need to organise a time where I can throw a mortar ball in the air.
I gave children in need money.
Or any kind of mortar.
I just can't prove it.
Yeah. They sort of bribed you with a charity payment. Or it's very strange.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's morally.
It's on my self-assessment, so it's tax deductible. So up yours.
Pete always wins.
Higher education isn't what it was, is it?
It wasn't when I was there, no.
You turned off on the first day, just give 30 quid to children in need. That's fine.
I did my third year in a zoo, Luke. So
I go back to something you just said there, Jim, about Graham Souness questioning Leicester City's work ethic. I'd imagine Graham Souness questions a lot of people's work ethic.
Oh, absolutely. Probably his own. Like every day, he just goes home and like stares at the, I don't know, the bricks in the wall.
But I think he's right. I mean,
if you
look at Leicester, Leicester have got absolutely no intensity. No intensity about their defending particularly. I mean, against Southampton, their defensively looked really bad. I mean, they were hapless in their own penalty area. They got nothing. They got none of the strength or the desire they showed before, and it is to do with that. We talked about it a lot, and I sort of diverge from Jill on this a little bit. I think it's a difficult game for them. It's a local derby, of course. It's on TV under the lights. Derby are in good form. They don't score that many, admittedly, but they scored three against Reading, just gone, and they don't concede. They don't concede many. And if you look at the fact that. Is Jamie Vardy in brilliant form? No.
None of them are.
Is Riyad Mahrez even going to play? Possibly not, because we don't know how fit he's going to be coming back from the African Cup of Nations. Slimani looks like he's got a groin injury. It's got all the elements. I don't want to get listeners too excited.
No.
But it's got all the elements of an upset. And Derby have got some good young players as well who will really relish it. And I think it's a potentially difficult game for them.
Yeah, are you calling it a potential banana skin?
It's got all the elements.
A couple of points. You're absolutely right about Leicester. Leicester do like a cup competition, as we've seen in the Champions League this season. They're in the Champions League next month, I think it is.
But Marcus, what I would say is that Steve Powell did play for the Tulsa Roughnecks, so he's up for the fight.
Is that right?
Yeah,
that's quite. I like that. So we have him, and I know Derby have got some good young players. Obviously, Tom Ince being one of them, and so on. But they do have. The man who claims to own over 1,000 pairs of trainers, Darren Bent.
And let the record know that Darren Bent scored in every FA Cup game he's played for Derby.
And didn't he also
this year?
Score?
No, since he signed for them.
Right.
Yeah, he scored against West Brom, Hartlepool, Chesterfield and Reading in the FA Cup every time he's played for Derby.
Didn't he also score a goal with his penis last weekend against Reading?
Yeah, the goal he scored against Reading, they played well actually in that game. They went a goal down, they battled back and they were by far the better team, and it was a good performance against another promotion chasing team. But the goal that Bent scored, Tom Ince's goal was a lovely finish, but the goal Darren Bent scored, he was doing that Darren Bent thing where he's sort of in the right place at the right time, and the ball was just rocketed across the box, and it hit a part of his anatomy that could have been the penis, and went in.
Put a trainer on it.
Hey?
Put a trainer on it.
Yeah.
He's got enough of them. He's got 10,000
pairs. It goes back to that hand thing, doesn't it, if you put a boot on a stump?
I've never understood the football's obsession with trainers and also hats as well. Baseball caps.
Yeah, they do. Well, it's not
I'll
just...
indulge any fetish going. I'll indulge in many myself.
It's not just baseball caps, though, is it? Was Eden Hazard who's looking a bit Michael Jackson?
With a hat.
He had white gloves and a hat on, I think.
Oh, really?
I think it was Eden Hazard. I'm pretty sure.
So that interview with Darren Bent, sorry, Marcus, where he talks about his obsession with trainers, he's actually adorable, really sweet. He's just quite nerdy about it, and it's rare that you see footballers like that, isn't it? He says, some people play golf. I do this. It's just what I like.
I'm not criticising. I merely said that the man claims to own
it's a big subculture, isn't it? Called sneakerheads, aren't they? It's trainer collectors and stuff. And it's a whole sort of underground sort of market of trading them and stuff like that. Bent's been into him for a while. He was also very quick on the Twitter bandwagon as well. But if we're talking about Derby County strikers, we have to talk about the man David Nugent, who's gone there.
Yeah.
He's gone there. And could he be sniffing out a goal against the former club? And I think Ipswich fans beware. We've had a pop at Ipswich or mentioned him a few times over the last few weeks. David Nugent and Derby go to Ipswich next week, I think, and his record against Ipswich is amazing.
It is.
So if we can start off with a goal against Leicester, Ipswich fans beware.
That's right. In goal for Derby is, of course, Scott Carson. Who's only 31.
I saw that today as well. I guess we must have read the same interview with him. It's like the anti Wayne Routledge.
It's weird, isn't it?
Wayne Routledge is older than Scott Carson. What?
That is strange. Obviously, the difference is at 31, he's still got a few years left in the old tank.
For sure.
It was an interesting interview in The Guardian that he had. I mean, he said he reckons he's 10 to 20 times better now than when he was playing for England, which I'm sure he probably is a better keeper.
I mean, it's quite an unscientific sort of way of doing it.
I'm not going to take his word completely on that, but I'm sure he is better. But he did make an interesting point. He said, well, when you're younger, I mean, he sort of said in general anyway, but especially for footballers, you're always trying to impress. Especially if someone like Scott Carson didn't have a secure club. He was on Liverpool's books for a while, then he was loaned out here, there, and moved around a bit. But as I say, he's now 31, and he said sometimes you can try and get involved unnecessarily. You know, if I hadn't done anything for 60 minutes, I thought I need to get involved, and that's where mistakes happen. And I think one of you lovely gentlemen said this about Joe Hart. Sometimes he's too keen to get involved and actually just take it easy. And he said, now if I don't have anything to do for 90 minutes, then I'm happy as long as we're winning. And I thought that was an interesting point.
I agree. It's a nice insight. I think the Joe Hart thing, sometimes I feel like he gets so pumped up that you wonder if that's the sort of the way you want to be approaching a game. If you look at someone maybe like Edwin van der Sar or something, he seems a lot more calm, a lot more focused.
It's reactionary, isn't it? That's all a goalkeeper can ever be.
Yeah, I think
he's
so.
Not making things happen.
And going back to the Derby thing, I mean, they've already beaten Premier League opposition in this cup. They beat West Brom away in the third round.
That was a great win.
Yeah, it was a really good win. So, and West Brom, you'd argue, are a better side than Leicester this season. So it can be done, especially now they're back at home. But with Bet365, Derby are 9-5 for this one. So £10 will return £28, including stake.
My thinking on it is just that Leicester sort of look almost bedraggled by what's happening to them in the Premier League, just sort of a little bit shell-shocked by it. So I wonder if the old cliche of it being a break from the competition, because as you say, they've been going great runs in the Champions League and still clearly have something about them, will be what sees them through. And I just think, you know, under the lights, I don't know, just be a little bit... Maybe I don't know, it's an occasion, isn't it? It's amazing what a different floodlights make to a game.
I think the only thing that will go in their favour really is the fact that Derby don't score that many. But then they've come off the back of scoring three.
I think Leicester might think to themselves, well, we've completed the Premier League, that's fine. Yeah. Now we can concentrate on the Champions League. And when maybe if they do win the FA Cup and then they win all the other trophies, then they'll just wind the club up and that's us.
Well, they only want to just win one at a time.
Yeah, do them all and then stop.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. It could be. I don't know. It'd be an interesting way to run a club. Or a bad way to run a club. Southampton, they're good at running a football club at the moment. Certainly. They're playing Arsenal at home. But it was all about the midweek win at Anfield.
Yeah.
In which I was attending.
Yeah.
I was incognito in the Southampton end.
Were you?
Yeah.
Did anyone see you?
Nobody
did.
They
spotted who you support.
You are dead to me.
It was all just to annoy Luke Moore.
Well, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking the only thing that could make the whole Portsmouth situation worse over the last sort of 10 years or so.
This Bella becomes a Southampton fan.
No. It's not all about you, Mark. You might be surprised to know. Is that at least Southampton didn't actually really win anything. The moment Southampton become a trophy-winning side, that's really the worst it can get.
Because also, it will cap an era, won't it? Yeah. Like, I think, you know, you won't like me saying this, but, like, it, you know, they've... You know, the last 4 or 5 years of Southampton has been brilliant. It's been a great period in the club's history. And for them to get a trophy to mark that would, I think, be fitting. But, you know,
and then we'll drop like a stone like Southampton, Portsmouth.
Yeah, that would be.
Do you think they'll go down the Pompey Highway?
No, I don't. I think in Venice, or churlishness aside, they deserve to be in the final, and they were the better team.
They were superb.
Mm. Yeah, and I fear for Liverpool at this point. I mean, they've gone from what, second to fourth in the Premier League, whatever they are. There's a lot of dissent in the ranks among fans as well. I think they're very impatient. I don't think it's realistic to suggest that there's anything to suggest that Klopp is going to move on or whatever, but a lot of fans calling into phone-ins. I know you get the most virulent fans in phone-ins, but a lot of them are calling in, at least a few of them, saying, what's happening here? We need to actually be making progress, and at the moment it doesn't look like we're making progress.
Well, we'll come on to Liverpool in a sec because of they're playing Wolves, but Southampton were brilliant against Liverpool. They deserve to be in that final.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They stifled Liverpool so much. Obviously, they had the goal advantage, which again shows that they earned it. And of course, some people said that they could have been two up from that first leg. Yeah. But in that game, absolutely played like a unit. You know, Claude Puel has not got the best relationship with the Southampton fans. Some of them are not too sure about him. Hard acts to follow. Pochettino and Koeman, for crying out loud. But the way they played, they were so cohesive. Mm. And Jack Stevens at the back for them. Young players, not played that much. What a performance coming into that side.
They seem to have a good relationship with young players coming through. And the thing about them is, whenever you see them interviewed, they seem like really switched on, mentally focused kids as well.
Gareth Bale
came through
the ranks. And there's a number of others.
Walcott, Oxlade-Chamberlain. That's very true of all of those players, isn't it? That
James
mentality
Walcott,
that
James
they have. Absolutely. They will carry themselves very well. Probably my highlight of the game was Fraser Forster's amazing save from his own mistake.
Incredible, wasn't it?
Carl Darlow did that actually, didn't he? Newcastle at the weekend as well. But also, like, I think Shane Long has got to be one of just the worst players to defend against in the Premier League.
If he's
coming on late, because you know what you're going to get. He's like the truck from the film Duel. Do you know, just keeps going, just at you, just relentless.
Nearly gave away a penalty though.
A lot of the criticism you hear about Shane Long is that he's a bit of a YouTube player. Like, he's a little bit sort of like flash in the pan here and there, does one thing good. But the way, I don't know how it looked at the game itself, Marcus, but for me it looked like Liverpool doing that thing again where they just don't move the ball quickly enough. They give Southampton, who you rightly say are a cohesive unit, time just to adjust.
Yes.
And then when Liverpool pushed and pushed and pushed in quite a sort of unrefined way without moving the ball quickly, that's when they got sucker punched on the break. And I completely agree. For the level of club Southampton are at, Shane Long is fantastic at doing that. He'll punish you when he comes off the bench.
I just think about the actual experience of marking him as a defender.
Oh, God.
You approach every player in a different way, I would imagine. But that's a nightmare.
He's the type of player. It's tricky for a club like Southampton because if they sign players that are really good, they will go to sides who have got bigger ambitions. You know, we see this with the likes of someone like Victor Wanyama is a good example. Those types of players.
Of players that have gone to Liverpool as well.
Of course, yeah. And don't they let them know that? But to get that type of player like maybe a Tadic, although slightly inconsistent this season, but the type of player who's decent but probably won't angle too much for a move, if you know what I mean by that. That kind of good player, but not like absolutely amazing like, player.
Real balancing act.
Like Gaston Ramirez.
Like Gaston. Because if you want to build yourself, obviously get the best players in that you can. I'm not suggesting that they should turn down great deals for people. But if you want to build a side that will be there for a while, to have that sort of spine of good players, it's difficult for
someone
a club
like Stephen Davis, for example, is a great example of that Southampton, because he fits in there, he's a good player, he's not going to want to go, he's probably not going to, with respect to him, he's not going to attract big clubs.
Right.
But the reason I bring out Gaston Ramirez is because it was absolutely remarkable for me. I forgot to bring it up in the Leicester chat. Is that Gaston Ramirez, I'm pretty sure, was like begging Middlesbrough to sign him permanently because he didn't like it at Southampton. They signed him permanently. I think they signed him permanently in the summer. Now he wants to go to Leicester.
I'm going to Leicester.
Why Leicester want him? I have no idea.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the last sort of player they need.
It's a strange one. You're sort of inconsistent. You're finding it hard to sort of get some real momentum going and fulfil the glories of last season. So you sign Gaston Ramirez. The man is so inconsistent, he doesn't know who's coming or going.
Another interesting thing is that there's a Chinese company looking at buying Southampton, which could be an interesting thing for their future. I'm wondering, is that just sort of cut out the Liverpool middleman and just sell players straight to China? Like when you're cheating at Football Manager.
Why wait 5 years?
Well, at least they get... I mean, they do pretty well, actually, selling on players Southampton for more than what they're worth.
Or maybe they'll just move the entire club out there.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's
well, I can get beyond that.
Yeah. Well, and then Portsmouth, would be the second or third best side in the South.
Yeah, something like that.
But Josh Sims coming on at the end, little mention for him. Yeah. What a run that was to slip Shane Long. And he did that thing where he was running, and then I think it was Matip who was coming back trying to get it, ran across him. Basically as if to say, oh, if you're going to try and tackle me, you're going to foul me, or you're going to let me go.
That's
here.
Textbook football
play. It was fantastic. He's a lovely player.
It's probably a tougher assignment for Southampton this weekend, the cup they play Arsenal, of course, and they're 11-4 to win with Bet365 and continue their good cup form. £10 returns, £37.50, including stake.
Found a stat that you're going to absolutely love, Pete.
Cheers, mate.
Dug this out just for you. This is from Albino on Twitter. Arsenal have played in the FA Cup final in every season where they've faced Southampton in it. Means nothing. No, absolutely nothing.
That means you should be okay.
I mean, he says stat, he means coincidence.
Yeah. Well, here's another stat for you. Lucas Podolski scored 5 goals.
That was crazy.
For Galatasaray, the other match, former Arsenal man, of course.
Behind closed doors, seemingly. Didn't ask why.
It was a cup game, so it was probably presumably some sort of punishment. But no, Nigel de Jong was sent off for 2 yellow cards in 30 minutes as well.
I was about to say, it was nice at one point as well.
It's reassuring to hear because
he's kept a froth up.
Yeah, you haven't heard from de Jong for a while. What's he up to? Probably getting sent off somewhere.
Exactly, because it goes nicely with Podolski, because you think, well, a few players that we know have gone out to Turkey, you know, which is obviously a decent standard. Podolski got 5 goals. Oh my goodness, has everything been turned upside down? Lovely. Some things are there to remain. The aforementioned Liverpool, they're playing against Wolves in the FA Cup, of course. Does Klopp play a full strength side here? Because this is the type of game where you think Liverpool, they should win, but they'll be very aware of what Wolves did to Stoke in the previous round, which was a great win, of course. And as you alluded to earlier, Luke, and we said we would talk about Liverpool in a sec, well, here's our chance. They're not in a very good place at the moment. Is this the kind of result you think, OK, let's get a win? Well, let's get a win to get things going.
Good idea,
or do you need
it?
To give players a rest?
Well, Wolves, well, regardless of that, I mean, Wolves will be great. I don't think Liverpool have got the biggest, most quality squad anyway, really. And as we've mentioned before, they've found it hard to get a lot of players available. But Wolves will be greatly encouraged by what they've seen from Liverpool recently. They'll think, all we've got to do really here is defend deep, keep it nice and solid, nice and coherent, and Liverpool will struggle to break us down. I mean, but barring the fact that if Coutinho can work his way up to full fitness and have one of those sort of, you know, really inspirational type games, then they might emerge easy winners. But I mean, it's difficult to rely on that to happen because that type of player and that type of role he plays is not always going to be there. And I agreed actually with quite a lot of the stuff that Jamie Carragher said after the game last night. He said, you know, Daniel Sturridge, what's he offering now? He doesn't seem to have this pace. He seems to be worried about injuries. And so, therefore, what is he offering you? Well, he's offering you finishing. And last night, obviously, he didn't finish. So if he starts with Sturridge again, and we don't even know if Sturridge can play that quickly in succession, but if he starts with Sturridge again, is he going to finish those chances? I mean, are they even going to make those chances? They probably are, because they do tend to make chances. But not the team doesn't seem to be playing any confidence at the moment. And we said, on paper, really, they should be beating Wolves, but they struggled to beat Plymouth over a couple of games. So it's very, very difficult times for them. Very disappointing for the fans as well.
It's worth noting, isn't it, though, that the team they put out against Plymouth, was it maybe their youngest ever, I think?
It was
an incredibly young and inexperienced team, so I guess it's finding a halfway house, isn't it? I don't know if he'll go like full strength, but at the same time with the league position, maybe they'll be looking at the cup, thinking actually we've got to throw everything at this while we can.
Well, Wolves aren't looking that good in the Championship, to be honest. And it's Paul Lambert versus Klopp, both ex Dortmund, of course.
Oh yeah, good link.
Narratives. Yeah. Narratives.
Klopp, he didn't play for Dortmund.
No, but he still came.
But
he's still got the P45 when he left.
The interesting point. Yeah,
done more for Dortmund than you have, mate.
Well,
so far you can.
I was about to say
Paul Lambert marked Zidane out of a football match. What have you done?
Marcus's star is very much ascending, though. one of the things I found interesting about a couple of Liverpool fans this week talking about Klopp is they're saying that, you know, Klopp has, I think someone said he's been beaten in 3 finals for Dortmund and 2 finals for Liverpool, and they were worried about that. And it's like, that's a nice luxury to have, isn't it?
I worry about my manager's strengths in European Cup finals. Oh.
At the very end.
Yeah. I know. Is it when people say
stuff
like
first
that?
Yeah, because that first half with Rafa as boss went really well, didn't it? Yeah.
Well, when people say stuff like that, they do forget the vast majority of other football clubs in their
land. You do adjust to your own reality.
No, of course, absolutely. Well, hopefully, Peter, for Liverpool's sake, that there won't be any more strange winds affecting Anfield like there was against Southampton. According to Klopp,
strange winds.
Yeah, he said that the wind was very strange in the first half.
You were there. Was there any strange wind around?
Well, not from my end, Jim. unfortunately for Wolves, their goalkeeper Carl Akemi, one of the heroes, of course, against Stoke, he's banned from this.
Yeah, he was sent off against Norwich, wasn't he?
Yeah,
I think he was sent off against Norwich. So yeah,
and that's a big plus for Liverpool because he was fantastic against Stoke.
Yeah, he was.
You know, so we should.
That's the thing is, Stoke played. I think from memory, Stoke played almost a full strength side in that game.
Yeah,
and Wolves did very well to beat them. It's similar. Similar to Derby beating West Brom.
Mm. Well, I look forward to the fifth round next weekend. Can't wait for the final in a month.
It's never ending.
Yeah. Before we go to a break, Lincoln versus Brighton. Those Lincolns, they're in there. Barrow, I did notice this. Barrow beat Lincoln 3-0 last weekend, and I thought that's quite an odd result because obviously Lincoln, you know, flying.
But Barrow have done the double over Lincoln this season.
Well, they have. Barrow going okay. I think they're currently fifth, you know. But Lincoln get a beat 3-0 before they play Brighton in the cup. I thought they've got one eye on that match.
Yeah, no
one
wants to get injured cruising already. But Lincoln's home record is absolutely fantastic. They lost twice at home all season.
Yeah.
And
but then Brighton are the best defensive record in the Championship.
Brighton are defensively very, very good. Speaking of the Championship goalkeepers, they've got a very strong keeper in David Stockdale, experienced for his age. I think he's made his mistakes at Fulham, as we know, and he struggled on occasion there, but he's been very, very good this season.
I mean, the penalty save he made, was it last game they played, perhaps? Yeah. Was it against Sheffield Wednesday? And then saved again immediately after. I think Stockdale's a great keeper.
Brighton are a very strong team. I mean, they made 11 changes for the MK Dons game in the last round, and they dominated that game still. Mm-hmm. They've got a real good atmosphere at that club, I think. Everyone seems to want to be involved, and you know, Anthony Knockhart, I always go on about, is a fantastic. I mean, he may not play. I mean, Glenn Murray's been amongst the goals as well. They may not play, I know that, but I'm a big fan of both those players, especially Knockhart.
Well, isn't Murray suspended in the league? So he probably will play.
Oh, right, okay, but that counts for domestic competition anyway, then. So.
Right.
But the thing about Brighton, just what you tapped into there about their defence, so they've got the third best defence in the country. It's only Chelsea and Spurs have conceded fewer than them.
Crazy.
So, I mean, it's going to be a tough ask for Lincoln. But then Lincoln are at home, you know. Sinsel Bank's a fortress. I just told you, they ain't lost twice at home all season.
There we are, you see.
They're flying in the league. And they're 4-1 to win this one with Bet365. So £10 returns £50 including the stake. Nice price.
Indeed it is. More FA Cup chat after this.
Hi, I'm Frank Dubov. You're listening to the Football Ramble. Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show. Everybody, there's an all Premier League affair at Crystal Palace. They face Manchester City. Jim, you spoke about, was it Leicester saying that it was perhaps a nice distraction in the Cup? You could say the same for these two.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a funny one. Do you think Pep Guardiola is going to rotate? Or again, as we were just saying about Liverpool, at this point, is he looking at this thinking, well, this is a chance for me to actually win something?
They could do with a win.
Let's go for it.
Yeah, they really could do with a win.
Well, they had a great time in the league, didn't they, at Selhurst Park? Yaya Touré.
Oh, a great time. Only 2-1, and it was a goal, a very fortuitous goal in the last few minutes.
All right, mate,
Yaya Touré had a great time.
Yaya Touré coming back has perhaps prejudiced that one in my memory.
You said,
are you his agent? Are you Dimitri Seluk?
I had a lovely day out.
I won't speak to you. I won't speak to any of you.
I don't apologise. I don't know. Wilfried Zaha might play.
Yeah, okay.
Because he's obviously been knocked out of the African Cup of Nations. Ivory Coast, they've gone home. Thanks to Harvey Renard. More on him in a bit. But yeah, we'll see if he makes that one. That would be a plus for them. Christopher Samba's training with Palace
this
at the moment.
This is a fascinating one, isn't it? Like, so Christopher Samba, he's going in for Van Aanholt. And also
Big Sam is.
Yeah, Big Sam, and also Mvila as well. So it's like properly.
Mvila,
like,
I think,
greatest hits of Sam Allardyce.
Well, Mvila would be a good signing,
absolutely.
You would think.
Exactly.
Is it fair to say that Chris Samba isn't quite the panacea that not Big Sam might hope?
Yeah, true.
That amazing transfer saga of Chris Samba around QPR when he signed for $400 million and then moved on again. That was absolutely ridiculous. But speaking of Yann Mvila, who obviously played at Sunderland for a bit. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that David Moyes quote? I completely forgot to put it in on the show earlier in the week. It is amazing. You know, David Moyes basically just hates being at Sunderland. He just can't believe his luck that he's there. This is a direct quote from David Moyes from last week, right, when he was asked about whether he's going to bring players in. I'd be kidding you on if I said the players we're hoping to bring in this month are going to make a big difference. Because first of all, we probably couldn't get to that level of player. And secondly, we probably wouldn't have the finances to do it. To suggest that a player we might bring in this window would be making a big difference would not be correct.
That's great, isn't it?
Well, Moyes has tried positive in the past match, and now he's just going for making everyone sad about the whole situation.
I might sign someone, I might not, but if I do, don't worry, they're going to be terrible. So we'll see how it goes.
It's strange, isn't it?
Ali Dye 2017.
But Moyes and obviously Allardyce, they're basically confining themselves to relegation or a last-minute scrap down there.
Well, speaking of whether Guardiola wants to try and win the cup, Big Sam, they need a win so badly. Yeah. They really do, and they'll be cursing that draw, Man City in it, because they're obviously a very, very tough game. They would, given what the atmosphere can be like at Selhurst Park, and we know there's been a lot of talk about it being mismanaged off the pitch and all that sort of stuff, but if they got a nice plum home draw and found themselves in the fifth round, it could change things around. It's very, very tough.
I mean, they really wanted Sutton United at home, didn't they? When the Man City
But maybe that'll bring its own pressure, though, I guess. I was thinking about it.
Well, true.
Also, as well, to be fair to Sam Allardyce, you know, we are sort of laughing about him kind of doing the whole getting the band back together managerial trick that we see so often. But given how poor their form is, if he's going to make signings, they need to hit the ground running straight away.
Exactly.
It needs to be players he knows, players he trusts. So, you know, it does make a lot of sense.
And Chris Samba.
And Chris Samba. Yeah.
He's just
for some reason.
Stand on the edge of the circle, the little half circle on the edge of the penalty area, and just head at everything. Just eat balls up over and over again. And that is it. Nothing else.
Might that be better than what's been going on at the moment?
If a team Crystal Palace are playing against with Christopher Samba in the centre back, play the ball on the deck, Christopher Samba will get out on his belly and head balls away. I've no idea what sort of form he's in at the moment, but presumably not an awful lot better than he was last time I saw him.
He's only 32 though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not that old.
I am saying with my big silly hat on.
Yeah,
well, you're right, Jim, about hitting the ground running, because we've talked about Palace's running. I mean, they've got a very, very difficult period of games. Their last four out of their last seven
Always got to save themselves in advance.
You've always got a question. You've always got to question things when you hear a player is training with a club.
Yeah.
You think he's either a troublemaker, because no one's assigned him, he's a bit not very good, or there's, you know, do you know what I mean? It is, isn't it?
Like, trial almost.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I don't know.
If you were a pro player, are you saying that you wouldn't like the press to pick up on the fact that you were training in quotes with a club?
No, yeah. I would, but it's kind of like when your contract ends with one club, you would hope to have something else lined up.
Yeah. I know what you mean. There's a reason why he hasn't been picked up, I suppose.
He's in between, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, you do sometimes get sort of former greats going back to train for a bit to keep fit, and the managers think, it'd be good for the younger players to have them around. That is not happening here, is it?
That
is not what's going on. My favourite thing about this game is that Darren Cann has been removed as the referee's assistant when the FA remembered that he used to play for Palace.
Fantastic.
God, why would you go into that job?
Yeah.
After playing for a club and then going, I want the amount of abuse that I gave out all those years ago.
I think that's very thorough from the FA. They realise now. Imagine if they realised like 2 hours before kickoff.
Speaking of that, like, obviously the assistant referees get the dog abuse because obviously they're at the side of the pitch. I can remember, I talked about it a bit in the book, that I vividly remember when I was quite young, there was a couple of guys in the north stand at Fratton Park who used to literally run up and down the touchline with the assistant referee, shouting and swearing at them, and then getting even more annoyed when they kept getting decisions wrong, presumably because they're in fear of their lives.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not going to help him. I don't think you've got his best interest at heart.
Well, let's move on to another tie. Oxford United at home to Newcastle United. How about that, eh?
Upset!
Upset. Is it? I don't know when my claxon's out, to be honest.
Yeah. Get your claxons out for the...
There we go. Upset! Woo!
Oxford manager Michael Appleton, he's an ambitious man. He said that he's glad the match won't be on TV because, according to him, we don't turn up when the cameras are on.
And Newcastle do.
Don't tell him about the highlights.
I love this whole new era. I'd love it if managers were this honest. David Moyes, Michael Appleton. Yeah. Moore should do it.
He's ex-Pompey, isn't he?
Yeah, he managed Portsmouth. Yeah. To be fair to Michael Appleton, he managed Portsmouth. I think it might have been his first job in management, and Portsmouth were in the depths of the problems they're in. It was very difficult for him. Mm-hmm. I don't think many people thought he got a fair chance there. But speaking of the upset thing, I did a bit of research about Oxford versus Newcastle. In 1992, the last time the two teams played was in 93. In 1992, Oxford beat Newcastle 4-2 and 5-2. Dished out a couple of batterings.
Yeah,
nice.
We'll have. Does that make you worried for this tie?
Not particularly, no.
And I particularly feel for Bradford City fans because Oxford was supposed to play in the EFL Trophy midweek. Against Bradford. Bit of a long trip going to Oxford. Game was called off for a frozen pitch 20 minutes before kick-off.
Yeah, that is annoying.
It's like the officials are going, well, kick-off's at 7:45. It's probably going to get warmer. If anything, it's getting warmer, so we'll give it as long as we can.
That's right.
20 minutes. 99% of those Bradford City fans would have been in the ground.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Yeah. They've got to get reimbursed for that.
They really do.
And that's Newcastle's best hope, by the way.
Michael Appleton did go on to say, though, he said, but there's no doubt about it, if we can cause an upset, we'll be a pretty big deal in the media the next day.
When
do you want the coverage or not?
Yeah, I know.
Don't give us the coverage, but if we win, then give us the
give
coverage.
Us it, yeah.
If we're 3-0 up with 10 minutes left, get your cameras down here.
I mean, the cameras will already be there for the highlight package, so...
Yeah,
I don't understand. How does he know what? Is that a red light? Is that a red light on?
Is that a live transmission? Yeah. You are taking a piss. If
is that a mixing desk you got? Is that a live broadcast unit?
Yeah, exactly.
Get out.
Michael Appleton running up and down the touchline. There's no film in that camera. Do not worry.
He's Facebook living over there.
The lead.
Players on the pitch going, boss, are there people looking? Are there people watching? Yeah. There are people in the ground. They can see.
I can't do it if you watch me.
Can we play this behind closed doors? What, not with our fans? Do we have to?
But Oxford are a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde team. I mean, they're really inconsistent. They're 10th in League One. They beat a Championship team in the last round. Yeah. Rotherham.
I think this is the first time Newcastle got to the fourth round in about five seasons or something. So we're in uncharted territory at the moment. Anything could happen.
You've already won in a way. It doesn't matter what happens against Oxford.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
any winners.
Anything after the fourth round's a bonus, isn't it?
Incremental games.
You've got the Mathia now.
There it is. Shall we move on then? It's Millwall versus Watford. Which
or not
is,
move on, hopefully.
Well, Jim, absolutely. After recent news on Millwall's ground, a win here would be great for the club. That seems to have been sorted out now, dare I suggest.
Never trust a London Borough Council.
Yeah, it's not completely over.
As the old expression
but the
goes.
Compulsory purchase order is now not taking place, apparently. It's the latest report.
And well done for everybody involved in opposing that, because... Anyway... We hope that...
Well, they're facing down the barrel of the whole borough of Lewisham not having a professional sports team in it.
Yeah.
And from what... It's been alleged that the fund that was looking to take over the purchase had announced they had funding from Sport England.
Which they didn't.
Which apparently was never there. Fingers crossed the right decision's been made. But going back to the football, Millwall, I mean, I don't know if you guys got a chance to revisit that game against Bournemouth. I know Eddie Howe made a lot of changes for that game, but Millwall were brilliant.
Yeah.
They missed an open goal in the first 5 or 10 minutes. And they still won 3-0.
Yeah, we're going to miss this chance. We don't even need it.
They dominated the game. They genuinely did dominate the game.
Well, this is a tough one for Watford. I mean, especially after what's happened with the club and the recent news, you would imagine that there hopefully will be a great, good, you know, a very positive atmosphere around the ground. And as you say, buoyed from the fact that they'd knocked out Bournemouth quite handsomely in the previous round, and Watford are not in great shakes. I think the old upset klaxon should be sounded any second.
Yeah, I think of all the ties, this is the most likely one. Although now I've said Leicester,
oh, so that's that big yellow taxi. That's wrong.
If only ever Joni Mitchell's big yellow taxi or Biffy Clyro.
Yeah, whose bloody fault is that? Whose bloody fault is the farmer then?
I mean, you are a professional radio DJ, mate. So surely, if anyone can,
well,
sort
I've got
this
a
out,
limited button box. This is for my. This is the one I use for my evening show.
I've got a limited button box,
but
ladies
my,
and gentlemen.
But my box is full
I
of wires
you,
at home.
I don't put that on your Tinder profile.
I have a very limited.
Is that
button
what you
box.
Call your desk, your button box. Jesus.
Millwall 250-1 with Bet365 to win the FA Cup this season. So £10 on that. It's just over $2,500 back.
Of course,
you fancy them to go one extra here. I think they might do.
Let me remind the listeners. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Damn it all! The only time I've ever entered a bookies and put a bet on was when Millwall were in the FA Cup final.
Okay.
It was against Manchester United.
They were beaten 3-0. 2004 or 5?
I think 4.
Ronaldo scoring that game.
He did score. He opened the scoring. Yeah, but it was 3-0.
I put 50 quid on. Lee Clark to be the Birmingham boss, and it never happened. High fives.
How long does that last, though?
Luke's predictions are better.
why that particular bet?
I don't know. I think I got just a bit excited about Lee Clark being back in management.
50 quid, I've got to put it somewhere.
And also, by the bet of the week dynamic here is, right, none of you lot do it, so I do it. I then get pelted when they're wrong, to the point of where I'm now to get listeners involved to help
right,
me.
Right, who needs cutting down to size? Is it me, is it Marcus at the gym, or is it you? It's you.
Yeah, maybe.
As the lottery hand used to say.
I really want to spare a thought for the delightfully named Fred Onyedimna.
Yeah.
Who was fantastic for Millwall against Bournemouth in that last round. Yeah. He got an amazing run to set up, I think, the second goal. Maybe just to set up a chance that wasn't taken. If he can get right amongst it and get at Watford. Mm. But Watford have signed Mauro Zarate, who might go straight into the team.
Fascinating.
And the Niang as well.
The guy never stops moving. Zarate seems to move a couple of times in each window. It's absolutely amazing. Looking into this, his older brother is his agent.
Right.
And used to be a footballer as well, but he's like 47 now. So he's clearly gone, I missed out on the big money, I'm having a slice of yours. Yeah. He's moving.
He's got shares in Airbnb.
Mauro, do you know what the word vicarious means? Good, good. Excellent. Would you like to go to Watford?
There we go.
No, you're going.
Is that Niang's signing actually gone through?
Well, a loan signing, I believe that's gone through, yeah.
We know about Zarate. I mean, he's very inconsistent, but on his day, he can unlock doors. He can do something. So
do all sorts of odd jobs that would help Peter his house.
He'll be a danger. But Watford haven't won. They haven't won at home. Have they won since they beat Everton? And that was at the beginning of December. I don't think they have. So they're in terrible form
draws,
as well.
Yeah,
they're in terrible form as well. So they made changes for that win against Burton last time around because I think a couple of their players were ill in the warm-up or certainly just before the game. And it's still a pretty strong team. So Watford might actually play quite a strong team. But as you said, I agree with you, Mark. The atmosphere will be fantastic. I think it's on TV as well. So
that can have an adverse effect as we...
Don't tell Michael Appleton, but it's on TV as well.
we end the main part of the show, if you like, with Sutton United against Leeds. Sutton United against Leeds. Leeds won't fancy this one and all the other kind of cliches. But Leeds did get a good win midweek, of course, up to third against poor old Nottingham Forest.
Yeah. Oh, Nottingham Forest are in a terrible state.
Poor old Forest,
yeah, in a terrible state.
Talking about not very nice things happen at football clubs, that's that. But we're not talking about Forest, we're talking about Sutton United versus Leeds.
Sutton drew against Eastleigh, a club fairly local to where I'm from in the last game. Yeah, good point for them. They're sort of mid-table. I think Eastleigh are the same. So it took them 75 minutes, Sutton, to break down AFC Wimbledon, who were down to 10 men, of course. But when they did break them down, they filled their boots. They scored like three.
A couple of late ones as well.
Yeah.
Well, you've only got to get through.
Oh, quite.
Do you know
that's
what
you need to do. And they're on TV as well.
Don't sneer at them, Jim.
I'm not sneering at them. I think it's nice to see Leeds sort of kind of getting back to where they were, because it was 2004 they were relegated from the Premier League. So there'll be players that, you know, play in that team who perhaps, however much it's told to them, aren't aware of what a big team Leeds were. So if I was in Gary Monk's position, I'd be trying to impress that on them. And a cup run, you know, will be a good thing for them, because, you know, however many games you have, if you're winning them, you're happy to have them, you know.
Word of advice, guys, take your football boots off outside so the little rubber balls don't get in the house. So.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because it's a busted pitch. I just want to pick up on what Jim said by saying I'd very, very much like to see Brighton and Leeds promoted automatically this season. both teams to score.
Nice to see Newcastle at Wembley. Yeah. I'd love that.
Joke's on you, Luke.
What on earth makes you think that they just get straight to the playoff final?
This is Pete in a nutshell, right?
Yeah.
Sunny side up Donaldson.
Keen-eared listeners will have picked up over the years that Donaldson will turn any sort of situation into a pessimistic one.
Yep.
I say I'd like to see Newcastle not go up automatically. Right. He's already saying, I prefer to see him at Wembley anyway. Yeah.
He doesn't even want to get promoted.
That's good, isn't it? I don't
that's
want
good.
To get promoted.
That's me looking on the bright side.
I prefer them to get to a final in which they would almost definitely lose to Yaps Chaps.
Yeah.
It's true.
Pete can't process good things happening in isolation. He thinks if he takes something out of the good pool of events, he automatically gets to give like five back. So he doesn't want to know. I don't want to be part of it. I just stay out of it.
The last couple of weeks, the world, Dad, I'm just like, everything will be fine in the end, I think. Yeah. Everything's going my way.
I'd say it's brought the best out of you.
Yeah, I think so.
Let me just remind you, a week ago, when Andy Carroll scored that amazing scissor kick, your first comment, he had a lot of time to do that.
He did have a lot of time to do that. It's true.
Doubling down.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Doubling down in play.
But let me finish this point because I want to say that both teams have scored. I fancy starting to get a goal here.
I do.
And both teams have scored 4-5 at Bet365. Mm-hmm. So in this one, so £10 will return £18.
And of course,
I just wanted to finish by saying I always think there's an upset to be had in probably the third, fourth, and possibly the fifth round of the FA Cups almost every season. Mm-hmm. You just got to pick it. I think it might be Millwall, but you never know with Sutton and with Lincoln. These things can happen.
I think Sutton might score early. I think Leeds might win 2-1. There's my little predict.
If Sutton did go through, Pete would say, well, I don't know why they're celebrating. They've still got another round to play. They don't get the cup just yet.
Think of their knees on that 3G pitch.
If Pete was playing for Sutton and they beat Leeds... The first imagine the fantasy. Imagine the cameraman coming on. First thing, I'll probably get battered in the next round.
Yeah. Isn't that usually what footballers are like, though? Yeah. They interviewed the WWE British champion this last week when he won the whole thing,
What's this got to do with anything?
Well, my point is, usually wrestlers come off and they're like, I smashed him, I'm the champion, this is brilliant. But he had this very hangdog kind of footballer, well, it's just nice to be in the ring, nice to be... and he's rubbish.
Like I just say, I smashed them, I'm the champion, this is brilliant. Yeah. I've never heard anyone say that.
I smash them, I'm the champion, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
And can you smell what I'm cooking?
Again, don't put it on your Tinder.
That was literally word for word Trump's speech, and you know it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, right.
And didn't he just?
That was Trump's briefing to the CIA.
Oh dear. Right, let's move on to what you, the listeners, are looking forward to ahead of the weekend with Luke Moore.
Yeah, okay, we're doing that next, are we?
Yeah.
Change to the scheduled running order. That's okay.
It's on the running order, look.
I'm using my own running order, though.
My internal running order.
Because I've got here now, we're finished. Looking ahead to the weekend, my highlight this week, though, just before we move on to that, is absolutely Marcus. Marcus being given the brief on Twitter, getting the password, logging in, and using it as an excuse to annoy Hibs fans all afternoon.
Was he? Or is he?
All afternoon.
What have you got to say for yourself?
I say that I can't remember what happened last year in the Cup. but I can remember what happened all those years ago with Wayne Foster.
Basically, that's what you put on Twitter. all you've got to say is up the Jambos, isn't it? That's all you've got to say.
What's wrong with that?
What I would say to Hibs fans is absolutely fine for you to pile in on Marcus. He has got a personal account as well.
I was going to say.
Spread it in half.
Again, not for your Tinder.
I've got to go on the radio later on.
If Hibs want to have a go at Football Ramble or at Pete Donaldson, that's where you can get me.
For things we're looking forward to the weekend, can I just hear more from Pete, please?
Spread it in half.
What have we got here? Evan Kane. This is a semi-serious point. He says, I'm not looking forward to something per se, but I think Man United deserve a shout for implementing proper facilities for the disabled at the cost of 3,000 seats. In the middle of Stretford End too, a great step for one of the world's biggest clubs. Now, I know, Pete, you've had a bit of a bee in your bonnet about this. I think it's 2,600 seats, actually, that they're sacrificing to get a sort of ample disabled access for disabled fans, which is great. Nice to see. Pete, you probably got something to say on that.
A piece in the book about how poor disabled facilities are in the Premier League, certainly, especially because there's so much money in the clubs. And some of the smaller clubs are better than I think Bournemouth's one of the better facilitized.
Right. Facilitized. Hopefully we'll see more of it then.
Well done.
Ben Fraser's got back in touch. Remember the QPR fan? He said, having bragged about making plans for this weekend as QPR would be knocked out, they were. I I've had to replan again as QPR now have a league game this weekend. So with my wife away and me stuck firmly on childcare, my highlight is having successfully convinced my mum to look after my 7-month-old, some quality grandparent time, and I will now be taking my 3.5-year-old to his second QPR game. Oh. Hopefully this will be better than the last one. We got beat by Aston Villa. Otherwise, he might need to find a new team to support or somewhere else to live. Ben, you are a sucker for punishment, but QPR are unbeaten in 4 in the league now, so maybe it'll be okay. Maybe. Leighton Price, I love this one. I picked this one out, just simple to the point. Leighton Price on Facebook. I asked him what he's looking forward to this weekend. Spurs winning, this podcast, and lots of beer.
Yeah.
Similar to you,
Ben. I don't look forward to this podcast.
Marcus, chastise him later.
I will.
Yeah. Lee Smethurst, I'm looking forward to Big Sam playing the tea lady, the cleaners, and the coach driver in a desperate attempt to depart the cup as quickly as possible to concentrate on league survival. Could happen.
Chris Samba, maybe. That's what he's looking for. Yeah.
And David Boyle says, I'm looking forward to a weekend free of Davey Moyes' upbeat chat. I think that's referring to the thing we mentioned earlier. So, thanks to everyone for getting in touch with that.
There we are. I'm looking forward to the African Cup of Nations this weekend, of course. Harvey Renard's Moroccan men against Egypt. They were fantastic. They knocked out Ivory Coast, effectively.
Marcus, this is your specialist subject. Would this be three African Cup of Nations for in a row?
Hang on, it's not in a row, is it?
It's two out of three, isn't it?
Yeah, it was Zambia when Gabon and Equatorial Guinea hosted.
That was an amazing achievement with Zambia.
Yeah. That was just different class, yeah. Especially the whole, if you remember the whole history behind it with the Zambian air players and the air crash and all the rest of it. In that particular country, it was absolutely phenomenal. He won the cup with Ivory Coast, the side who couldn't do it with all those great players, get the big man in.
Yeah.
And then
when you lose him, he'd knock you out.
Yeah. Should have offered him a better deal, shouldn't you? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he left of his own accord. And then in charge of Morocco now, they played Ivory Coast. What a goal it was. It was nil at half time, and apparently Big Harvey went in and said to them, don't be scared. Hmm. Do not be scared. And that was the kind of message. They went out 1-1-0. They're playing Egypt, who are in not bad shakes. I mean, of course, they're through. And we've got Dr. Congo versus Ghana, Senegal versus Cameroon, and Burkina Faso versus Tunisia. I've made a prediction here, gentlemen.
Go on, then.
Of what I think is going to happen. I think the semi-final lineup will be Burkina Faso versus Morocco and Senegal versus Ghana.
I'll just repeat what I said before. I think Senegal will be the standout team for me. I think they'll take some beating, I do.
Also, I think there's a big chance Asamoah Gyan will miss that game as well. I think he picked up a knock. That's a big loss for them.
Stand by my prediction, Jim.
Anyway, do you want the bet of the week?
Love it.
The bet 365 bet of the week comes this week from listener Joe Flaherty, and he's emailed in saying, here goes nothing. As I won a massive high following Southampton's progress to the League Cup final, my bet of the week is for the cup set train to keep on rolling. I want Millwall to beat Watford on Sunday and there to be 3 or more goals in the game. Buoyed by the excellent news that the compulsory purchase order over the land around the new den is hopefully about to be thrown out, and with Watford A not on great form, B with one eye on the game against Arsenal on Tuesday, I predict a much changed Hornets side, and something tells me Millwall might do the business here. They put out Bournemouth in the last round and their home record is very good. Joe just chiming in with a lot of stuff we've been saying. So Millwall to win an over 2.5 goals is currently 15-4 with Bet365 and is our bet of the week. £50 will return us £237.50 including stake, and you must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and please gamble responsibly. For more information, do go to gamblerware.co.uk. We're getting listeners involved in these bet of the weeks. It might be nice to have a little honours roll or honours ball or something for people who get it right. We're 0-1 at the moment. Liam Robertson last time round obviously failed in his. Good luck to you, Joe, and good luck to us, and good luck to Prostate Cancer UK, but especially good luck to Millwall.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Any more for any more.
I've got nothing more.
Actually, one thing I am looking forward to is seeing what sort of reception Aitor Karanka gets at the weekend. Yeah. Have you heard what he said today?
No, he's doubled down.
Trebled down, if anything.
He's done the Pete Donaldson.
Honestly, he said basically... a few years ago, they had 12,000 fans. Now there are 18,000 more who don't get the way he plays.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's also said that fans leaving early isn't good for players who are trying their best. So he effectively said, I'm not going to apologise for defending my players, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, hello.
He walked out back end of the last championship season, didn't he?
There was certainly a bit of a set to behind the scenes with the chairman stuff. I do agree with some of what he says. I think it's really important for a team like Middlesbrough who are struggling in the Premier League to build a bit of an atmosphere. But he is right. I mean, I've never really got the leaving early type thing.
Especially
because more often than not, Middlesbrough aren't going to be winning games by goals, or they might be losing by a few. Then it's a bit different. But they need that support. He's right in some of the stuff he says. But overall, fans get a bit of a raw deal.
Again, though, it's in this new spirit of honesty that's come from somewhere.
Yeah, I know. Love it. It's great. Appleton, Karanka. Who was the other one? Moyes. Yeah, this is great. More of that.
Well, Big Sam as well.
Big Sam as well. Yeah, exactly.
Aitor Karanki. More like.
Yeah, Karanki. Yeah. Mm. See what we done there.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. We're out. Jim, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Luke, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Peter, say goodbye.
See you later.
And I'll say goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.